Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 29th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Photo Downloader. Welcome back to another digital story. I have a few things I want to cover today. Hopefully, all of them will be interesting to you. And if not, hopefully, a few of them will be interesting to you. One of the things that I want to touch on for a few minutes today is, it actually has to do with workflow. And I've been teaching a lot of workflow stuff right now. I'm working on a big workflow project. So it's workflow. A lot of good workflow stuff. And one of the questions that comes up a lot in class for people, they already have an investment in, software right now, Photoshop, CS2 or 3, or the latest version of Elements or something like that. And when I teach workflow, a lot of times I'm showing them things such as Apple's Aperture and Adobe's Lightroom because, they're such nice, complete solutions. And you really can do everything from upload all the way through the process with those applications. Now, of course, the thing that comes up is, you've got to buy those, right? They're additional tools. And right now, if you buy retail, Aperture is an additional $199, and Lightroom is an additional $299. So that's a notable amount of money. And don't get me wrong, I am totally sold on these applications, and I think they're really the best way to go. However, I also have to respect, how people, how they're trying to manage their finances, and not everyone wants to go and plunk down $299 for Lightroom when they may already have something that works on their computer right now. So that leads me to talking about something called Photo Downloader, which for those of you that already have CS2 or CS3, Photoshop CS2 or CS3, or you have the latest version of Elements for the Mac, which would be Photoshop Elements 6, you have this application. And it's a nifty little helper application that basically does a lot of the front-end stuff on a workflow and really allows you to organize your images during upload and do some nice things so that then when you begin working with them, you've already taken care of a lot of that sort of detail work that you should be doing, but we don't always do because it's not easy. And if you have Photo Downloader on your computer right now, and I'll get into that in a second, you may have a tool there that can really help you that you haven't been utilizing. The easiest way to tell if you have it is if you have a current version of Bridge, of Adobe Bridge. And for instance, you'll have that if you have Photoshop CS3, you'll have that if you have, and that's CS3 for Mac or Windows. And you'll have it also if you have Elements 6 for the Mac. And the way that they do it, they kind of hide Photo Downloader in a way, because the way that you get to it is that you open up Bridge, and under the File menu, if you drop it down there, you'll see an option that says, get photos from camera. And basically what that does is, if you choose that, that launches Photo Downloader. Now, one thing that I tell people to do is that once it launches, it's a helper app, but once it launches, and if you're on a Mac, its icon will show up on your dock. You can, at that point, set it up so that that icon stays on your dock, and then you can just go directly to it. Now, why would I be so interested in this little thing? Well, the nice thing about Photo Downloader is that you know, there's it'll come up in standard mode a lot of times, so just a dialog box, but there'll be a button down in the lower left-hand corner that's the advanced dialog. And if you click on that, you'll see all of your thumbnails, and you'll also see at the top above your thumbnails the media device that you're using, and that could be your camera plugged in or your memory card reader. And you can check all those boxes or uncheck all those boxes that have your thumbnails, and they come up checked because, you know, the application's assuming that you want to upload all those pictures from your memory card, but you can uncheck the ones that you don't want to check. And then on the right side, you have a whole bunch of options. And I think that this is a really nice organizing tool because those options include, for example, you get to choose where all the photos go on your hard drive. And a lot of times I recommend that you have your master directory be your pictures folder. And then below that, it will create a subfolder for you. And it gives you a list of options for how to name that subfolder. Most of them are date options. So then, you know, so you have a date format that you pick. So you can start to visualize this. You have your pictures folder, and then you have subfolders that have all of your photos in there. And the subfolders are labeled by date, or they can be custom name and date. And they'll be all nice and neat, nice and organized. I mean, it's organizing your pictures on your hard drive for you. And then below that, you even have an option to rename the files as they come in. So if you don't like, you know, img_3742.cr2 or .jpg, then you can actually rename them during upload to something like a custom name with a date or a sequence, or there's a lot of really good options there. So there's another piece of functionality that's taken care of. I mean, so far we have, you can set it up so that it always, you know, downloads them to a specific area on your computer, that it always sets up a subfolder for you in that specific area and labels it a certain way. And then on top of that, it can rename your files for you during upload. And on that rename, there's a box below that where you can even preserve the original file name if you want in the metadata, so that when you're in Photoshop or something and you want to see what the original file name is, just look at the preserved file name field in your metadata and it will show you the original file name that your camera gave it. And then below that, you can still do other things, such as if you're shooting with RAW, you can convert to DNG during the upload process. And this is kind of cool. Now, some people, the discussion about whether or not to convert to DNG, I think has some religion in it, and it has some practical aspects too. The religion sort of is something like this, that, well, DNG is this open file format standard created by Adobe so that all of the RAW files that are out there right now are proprietary. They're owned by the camera manufacturers. If the camera manufacturer someday decided that they didn't want to support that RAW format anymore, you know, you could be hung out to dry. Whereas if you convert to DNG, since DNG is an open standard, it will always be supported by the developer community, and your odds of getting hung out to dry are a lot less. So that's sort of that argument, and I don't really know about that. I talked about that in a web blog post on Monday. I don't really know about that scenario, how, if it would ever play out that way or not. But the part that is interesting to me about DNG is that when you add metadata to your files, and you should be adding metadata, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second, you know, things such as your copyright information is metadata. When you add metadata to your files, and if they come in as RAW files, what most applications do that are the freestanding ones, not so much the lesser apps, but you know the Adobe, all the major apps, what they do is they create an XMP sidecar file that's associated with your image file, your RAW file, And then if you keep those two together, then the metadata will always travel with your raw file, because, you know, you really can't easily write to metadata to a raw file. So then you end up looking in your folders, though, if you do this, and all of your raw files will be in there. And then you have a whole nother set of files, and those are your XMP sidecar files. And I have to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of that clutter. I don't really like having them in there. There's no real practical reason why it should be bothersome, other than, you know, you don't want those sidecar files to be separated from the original files. But, you know, practically speaking, it's more of an aesthetic problem for me. So one of the cool things that DNG does is that it sort of puts all that information in one container, and it's nice and tidy. And that's actually, I think, for for my eyes, as good an argument as any for considering DNG. If you're working with one of these workflows that you're putting together yourself, and if you're going to have a lot of sidecar files to keep track of, DNG can make that a lot tidier. So anyway, you have the option to convert to DNG or not, and depending on your workflow, I think it's definitely something to consider. And by the way, I listed in Monday's podcast, so that that would be April 28th. No, take that, in Monday's web blog post, and that would be April 28th. I have a little information about DNG, and I posted a couple resources. One of them is an interview with Julianne Koss, who is a big fan of the DNG format and talks about it and gives some good detail around it. So there's that. We're still in Photo Downloader. This is yet another thing that it can do for you. It can do this on the fly. And then the real kicker, the thing that really amazes me, is that during upload, Photo Downloader also will let you back up your files to another hard drive. So if you have another hard drive connected to your computer, it can be an external FireWire drive or USB drive, during upload, and you call that out, you know, you identify it, you choose it, then during the upload process, Photo Downloader will handle all these things that we've talked about, put your pictures in the locations as you want them, and at the same time, we'll copy your master files to a separate location so that at the end of upload, you actually have your files in two different places. And I think this is great, because one of my big things is you always want your pictures to live in at least two places at any given time, because, you know, that's protection. So when you first take your shots, they're living on the memory card, so you want to get them onto a computer as soon as possible. The minute you upload them onto a computer, then you have them in two places. You have them on your computer, and you have them on the memory card. The thing I don't like to do at that point is erase the memory card right away, because if I do that, then I'm back to only having them in one spot. That would be on the computer. However, if you use something such as Photo Downloader or Lightroom, then you can choose this option and they will be backed up to a separate drive during upload. So now, actually, at the end of upload, you have them in three places. You have them on your computer, you have them on a separate drive, and you have them on your memory card. So at that point, then I think it's reasonable to go ahead and format your memory card, because you have them in two places. So I think it's a real handy feature, and it sort of protects you from yourself. You know, even if you accidentally erase your memory card before you've double-checked your pictures, that you've backed them up and all that, this protects you from all of that. And for that reason, I think it's a very handy function that I highly recommend. And then one other aspect of Photo Downloader that I want to talk about is it will let you add metadata on the fly. Now, it can go the basic route. You can just choose basic metadata, and that would be your author name and your copyright. And you could just fill that in right there in Photo Downloader. Hit the button, and that will be added to every picture as it passes it on to your computer. But it allows you to also create metadata templates. Now, you actually create the template itself in Bridge, and Bridge has options for creating and managing your metadata templates. So you can create a template in Bridge that has your name, your copyright, your contact information, which I think is really important, you know, website, also your creator city, state, and country. So it makes it easier, all these things to make it easier to track you down if somebody finds one of your photos in the wild that they want to use and they want to get permission or they want to give you money. So you can create this metadata template in Bridge. Then when you're in Photo Downloader, it gets added to that pop-up menu. And you can choose that template during upload, and all of that information will be added to your photos every time you transfer them onto your computer. This is pretty cool stuff. And again, this is an application that may be on your computer right now, and you haven't really played with it or fully utilized it. And it can help your workflow. So for people that aren't quite ready to make the move to Lightroom or aren't quite ready to make the move to Aperture, then and they want to use Bridge and they want to use Adobe Camera Raw and they want to use Photoshop, then this is a perfect tool to fit into that workflow. Because what you can do then is upload your photos. There's another box that you can check in Photo Downloader to automatically open the shoot in Bridge after it's finished doing all of its work. And then you can, in Bridge, rate your photos and sort them and do all the kind of things that you'd want to do in the photo browser. And you're off to the races, knowing that you've already added your basic metadata and taking in that they're backed up and that they're in the right location and all that sort of stuff. So I think that if you're sort of in this spot where you have a Photoshop and you're still thinking about a photo management application, but you want to have a good workflow in the meantime, take a look at this application. It is really cool. It's called Photo Downloader. You can get to it through Bridge, and I think it's a very, very nice tool. Now, I want to change gears for just a second. And I just want to give you an update on my Drobo experience. And so I've consolidated now a whole bunch of hard drives worth of master images onto the Drobo. And I continue to catalog them with Microsoft Expression. And so it's all sort of there. And I can access these files now through Aperture and Lightroom also. So then I go, well, I should probably keep going with this because the next hurdle for me is what do I do with all those CDs and DVDs that I burned back in 1997, 1998, 1999 before I really started doing the hard drive backup when my photo archiving workflow was to put things on CDs and DVDs. And then, of course, learning later on that those might only be good for 10 or 12 or 15 years. And I'm doing the math, and I go, ooh, a lot of those are 10 and 11 years old already. So now I'm going through the thing where I just have my binder of CDs and DVDs open. And when I have a chance, I just pull one out, put it in the computer, transfer the master images onto the Drobo, where all the other stuff is. And then when it finishes doing that, pull it out and then label it as backed up to Drobo. And then when I'm all done with this, I'll just put the binder back in storage and it will just serve as another backup for as long as it's good. So, and then I have, and then I catalog all this stuff. So now it looks like that on the Drobo, I'm going to have my photo library going back to probably about 1996 or so. And when I really started, shooting a lot of digital. So this is pretty exciting stuff, and it's a little tedious, but I just sort of do it while other stuff's going on. And I was talking about this in class on Saturday, and I said, the main thing is you just have to be patient when you're working on these sort of projects. You're not going to get everything straightened out, in one weekend. And so, if your goal is to kind of get your photography archive together, better organized, cataloged, backed up, all that stuff, the thing that I've been saying is, start where you are now. Build your process for everything that you shoot going forward. Get it perfected. And then after your process is perfected, then go ahead and start to, roll in some of your older content into it. some people were asking me, well, you know, I have all these slides and I want to scan them and then, you know, digitize them and then get them, you know, on my hard drive system. And I said, I think that's a great idea, but you want to make sure that you have your workflow down first so that if you're going to go to all the trouble to scan these things, make sure that you have an easy way to add metadata. Make sure that you have some plan for organizing them, because you just don't want to scan a bunch of stuff, drop it onto a hard drive, and not have it organized, because you're not really moving the ball forward that much. The only thing you've really done is move your mess from analog to digital. So, you know, you've gone from sort of an analog chaos to digital chaos. And I guess, you know, that's somewhat better, but figure with almost the same amount of effort, you could also have it organized during this process. And I think that is a much better scenario. But you're not going to be able to do that just in one weekend. That's going to take time. So work out your workflow first. You know, use it moving forward. And then figure out a plan for dealing with all those pictures that you've taken prior to that. And figure out how to roll them into the process. And I think you'll be a lot happier that way. You'll definitely be more sane. And, you know, and at some point, you know, you'll look up and go, wow, look at all the stuff I've done. So I'm not quite there yet. I'm still working on it. It's definitely been a few weeks, but I'll just kind of keep you posted on that stuff. I want to mention that we're near the end of the month, and so we're going to be wrapping up on this month's photo assignment, which is Angular. It just has some beautiful shots coming in. I'm really looking forward to posting this gallery. So you have until the end of April to submit your shot for this photo assignment. And then we'll start a new one next month. We'll start a new one for May. So in next week's podcast, I'll be talking about that. But try to get something in for this month's too. And if you have any questions about that, just go to thedigitalstory.com and hit the submit button. And then that way you'll see all the information. I'm always looking for grab shots, so if you're sitting on a grab shot, please send one in, and we'll try to get it up on the site for you. I want to remind you about Digital Photography Companion, and that it's also available on the Digital Story, and I think it's just a really handy book that you'll enjoy, and that I think a lot of your friends and family would enjoy, too. And so just look for the link to the Digital Photography Companion. It's up at the top of the Digital Story. And then I want to thank our sponsors this week, and that would be LowPro, the maker of all things great when it comes to bags and pouches, and Expo Imaging, the makers of Expo Disc, and Photomagico, the best slideshow software for the Mac. And all of them have tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story, so you can click on any of them to find out more information. Okay, well, so there you go. Photo Downloader, that's my hot tip of the week. I've been using it a lot lately because I'm trying to build workflows for people that are trying to use the tools that they have right now, and I think that one fits in great for a lot of folks. I'm going to be back here next week. I hope you come back. Get organized. if you haven't started your organization, now might be a good time, but keep taking pictures too. All right. Bye-bye now. I'll see you next week.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.